Are you the type of leader who wants to leave behind a legacy? Well, I'd love to help you unlock a legacy of excellence with the School Leadership Toolkit. For just $97, you'll gain access to 10 easy-to-implement resources, including templates, frameworks, and bonus content designed to help you manage your to-do list, make better decisions, navigate difficult conversations, and support your team. Fast-track solutions to your challenges by grabbing the toolkit at schoolsofexcellence.com/toolkit or click the link in the show notes. Elevate your leadership journey today. Welcome to the Schools of Excellence podcast, a place for insightful conversations about building sustainable schools of excellence. Join me each week as we explore the importance of leading with your values, creating impact, and leaving a lasting legacy. My goal on the show is to provide you with clarity, elevate your mindset, and equip you with practical strategies and inspiration. I'm Chani Olshansky, a proud mother of four, a former New Yorker, now savoring sunny Florida vibes. With a professional journey spanning 18 years across all levels of school leadership, I bring nuanced insight that delve into the intricate details of running a center, as well as the broader visionary aspects of leadership. Thank you for joining me for this conversation. Let's build a legacy of excellence together. Hey there, welcome back to the Schools of Excellence podcast. I am so excited to kick off this brand new series, How to Win in the Dark. So I want to start off by just talking about what does it mean to win in the dark, right? It's really this metaphorical expression that signifies achieving success or overcoming challenges discreetly or in situations where your efforts are not immediately visible or recognized by others. So this is a really interesting concept, right? Like what it means to really win in the shadows where it's not overtly, you're not getting massive accolades. There is discreet winning. And so in this three-part series, I'm really going to be diving into what it means to win in the dark in the context of three buckets: enoughness and worthiness, comparison, and shame and anger. So today's episode is going to be all around enoughness and worthiness, because winning in the dark around your own enoughness, knowing how to feel accomplished in your own self-worth, in your own enoughness, feeling that I am enough, it is enough, good enough, I am worthy, it's all good. That type of internal knowing and self-trust and winning in that arena, such an important component. So I want to dive a little bit deeper and really explain this concept of winning in the dark, the ability to work diligently, make strategic moves, attain goals without seeking public attention or validation. Winning in the dark involves a lot of perseverance, endurance, and a focus on long-term rather than immediate recognition. When a leader chooses to win in the dark, it implies their capacity to navigate obstacles, make critical decisions, and execute plans behind the scenes, away from the spotlight. This approach is not particularly relevant in competitive environments, right? Or situations where, you know, things are subtle or discretion is essential. Like winning in the dark, what it means is about achieving personal and professional victories through dedication, through strategic thinking, hard work, even when the results are not immediate, they are not apparent to everyone around you, you do not get accolades. It really underscores the idea that true success is not measured by external accolades, but by internal satisfaction of accomplishing your goals. Now, if you are following me until now and you are interested in what it takes to win in the dark in these arenas, then I'm excited to dive into this series with you, because in so many industries like tech, like sports, like entertainment and movie making, there is hours and months and years of work that goes on in the shadows, in the dark, before you can see any of the accomplishments. And in a social media world where everyone's looking for the highlight reel, where everyone sees everything that's going on, is really difficult to lead with a component that I can also learn how to feel that I'm winning in the dark. So in education, the ability to navigate challenges, innovate, contribute to success without immediate recognition. These are key factors in long-term sustainability and excellence and building your legacy. This is what it takes. So this first episode, we're going to be discussing what it means to win in the dark around enoughness and worthiness. Next episode, we're really going to dive into comparison. And then the final episode, we'll dive into shame and anger. And I chose these three containers because I believe from the research, from hours and hours and hours of coaching clients, working with clients in groups, in one-on-ones, on stages, in meetings, in the hallways, wherever I'm talking to clients, in DMs, on my, you know, texting, on Voxer, all of these things. These are the three containers that come up. And I want to invite you into this from the perspective of, from the knowing you're not alone. You're not crazy. Thousands of school leaders are navigating these emotions. And I hope that these episodes allow you to step into a world where you know that other leaders are navigating this. And I'm going to give you a hope, a lifeline, some really great strategy and tactics of how to navigate this. When we think of what it means to win in the dark and the stories of triumph that rarely make the headlines, but the positive impact that it creates inside of the environment is transformative, right? So I want to set the stage here for you because school leaders are the unsung heroes of making pivotal decisions, driving success without immediate spotlights. And so we want to look at how does this approach of winning in the dark really relate to this broader landscape of educational leadership? Because I want you to understand the dance between seeking acknowledgement for hard work and staying grounded in the belief that the work itself is inherently valuable. I'm going to say that again. And if you need to pause the episode and write it down or pull over, do so. Winning in the dark is the dance between seeking acknowledgement for hard work and knowing how to stay grounded in the belief that the work itself is inherently valuable. There was a school leader who introduced this brand new, very innovative teaching method inside of their center. And it really, really boosted student engagement and performance and a lot of other, you know, components. And the changes, of course, were not immediately, you know, catchy to the eye. The parents didn't see it right away. The stakeholders didn't see it right away. The school board didn't see it right away. But the leader went with it because she understood the transformative impact on the students' lives. And so she prioritized the well-being of the students over the immediate external validation that she would get. This is really, really hard to do. It's hard to do because the quiet endurance is a testament to the power of what it takes to win in the dark, right? And what that actually takes. So now let's shift here to this notion of enoughness. And you know, what does it mean to feel enough as a school leader, especially when accomplishments go unnoticed? You see, I talk to leaders all the time. And there's in this intellectual knowing of like, yeah, of course I'm, you know, enough, even if my accomplishments go unnoticed. But human nature is we want to feel appreciated and valued and recognized for what we're doing. And so it's really difficult to play this dance of going after things and feeling comfortable with knowing that we're winning even when we're in the shadows. Let's talk about the connection between enoughness and leadership. So let's say, you know, you have a scenario. We had a school leader. And again, whenever I share stories, the stories are real and I change names and identifying details. So we have a client, her name is Emily, and she worked really diligently for many, many months on creating a positive and supportive school culture where students felt safe and valued. And she did not get any rewards for that, right? There was no external stuff coming in and thanking her and all of this kind of stuff. She had to sit in the, I created an amazing environment where the students feel safe and valued, and that is enough. We had a different school leader. Her name was JC, and she was working really hard on teacher collaboration. And around all the competitors around her in schools, they all noticed that there was a lot of collaboration amongst the teachers, leading to just incredible professional development and a sense of unity with the staff. And a lot of the other leaders were trying to figure out, like, what was she doing? No one was like saying anything, but there was like this vibe of like her school was doing really well. And she came to a call and she's like, I know that I should feel enough that I see it inside my school and it feels great, but I wish that I was recognized for it. And I was like, I know, right? Like, you wish that it would be highlighted in the media, right? Or, you know, all this external recognition. And so how are you going to find fulfillment in seeing your staff grow, in collaborating effectively, in how they're contributing to this positive work culture? How are you going to feel enough satisfaction that this is enough, even if no one knows about it? How do you find that enoughness inside of yourself? And we sat for a really long time unpacking it because she kept going back to, but I am really happy. I love that I have this. But then she vacillated with, but I wish other people knew, but I wish I got the accolades for it, essentially. This is the dance that we play between knowing to come into community, like the community of schools of excellence that she walked into, where on the call she was sharing these amazing wins. And the community was supporting her and congratulating her and giving her that feeling of like, that's incredible, right? And supporting her win. And that is what really gave her that feeling of, okay, this is good enough for me, right? I don't need also all the parents to acknowledge me and all the teachers and the media and this and this and this. It's that feeling of enoughness. Now, you might be listening to this at this point and thinking, I really don't understand what's going on here. I don't understand how to actually do this. Like, I don't ever feel enough. I feel like I always have to do more. Or you might be feeling like, I don't really struggle with this enoughness issue. I do what I have to do and then I move on to the next thing. So how do you actually discern if you are struggling with enoughness? Because sometimes we don't even recognize that we're actually playing this crazy roller coaster game. So you might be struggling with enoughness or worthiness if you are constantly chasing the next project that you have to do, the next initiative, the next project, the next big thing, the next thing. And you can't remember the last time you sat in some maintenance where what you built was enough, and now you got to enjoy it a little bit, even for a couple of months before you took on the next thing. If you are constantly in a state of next, 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 and you have almost never taken time to pause and maintain and relish what you have, and I don't mean relish in that you went to a restaurant and you celebrated with champagne and then you were on to the next thing. No. Really maintained and enjoyed what you had before you go on to the next thing. You might be struggling with enoughness and worthiness, where your feeling of self-worth and enoughness is coming from what you produce and what you put out into the world and how much you do in your school and how much you give your teachers and how much you pay them and all the benefits that you give them and what you give the parents and who you give this to and what stages you're on and what awards you've won and what conferences you speak at and what conferences you get to attend and what rooms you sit in and what boards you're on and how many certificates of achievement you've received and all these different things. When you're constantly seeking all of these things, and it's never enough because you're always going after the next thing, this might be a great moment for you to pause and say, how can I dedicate this next season to winning in the dark? Where winning is not going to be about what I achieve, what I put out there, what awards I get, how much public recognition I get, but winning is going to be in the shadows. How can I win in the dark for the next couple of months? That is so powerful to learn how to actually win where no one's seeing any of that. In the realm of school leadership, it's common for so many of us to perceive success of others as this really overnight phenomenon. And we constantly go after this notion of like, oh, look how amazing she got all these things and this happened overnight and then she got this or she got that or she's really talented. And we start attributing things to talent or luck or money or location or connections or talent or network or whatever. Winning in the dark is learning how to discover the power that is within you and your leadership team. This is the territory where you craft a legacy that echoes through the corridors of education. Learning how to win in the dark is learning how to craft a legacy that echoes way beyond your lifetime. Way beyond your lifetime. Winning in the dark is learning how to acknowledge the grind, the unseen efforts, and the endurance that is required to lead with impact. When we think about worthiness at the core of a leader's journey, each of you face your own worthiness and how the pursuit of success in the shadows influences your sense of worthiness. Because you want to celebrate victories and it kind of gets tied to your self-worth. So the challenges to the feeling of worthiness as a school leader, like what challenges your worthiness, comes from external pressures, unexpected setbacks, personal doubts, all of these things. All these things can undermine your sense of worthiness. So let's take some of the most common things that attack our enoughness and our worthiness. External criticism. You're a school leader and you're facing some public criticism or negative feedback from stakeholders, from teachers. Close your eyes and take yourself back to that moment. Every single one of you are listening to this episode, have a moment where you have faced public criticism or negative feedback. Now, what happens is in this moment is here's how you win in the dark, in the shadows, in this moment. Because you have a moment here where you're getting feedback and it's strong and it's heavy and it's critiquing. Learning how to step into yourself and saying, this does not define who I am. This is feedback to make me better as a leader. This is feedback to make me better as a leader. Then you sit in, who is this feedback coming from? Is this feedback from people that I actually respect and actually want to know their opinions on this particular matter? And then the final step to anchoring your worthiness and self-worth is seeking support from mentorship and peers. And coming with that emotional vulnerability, sharing the criticism, and having the space and the container where the mentor holds that for you, lets you navigate that surge of emotions, whether that's crying, being pissed off, being angry, cussing, whatever you need to do in that moment, the mentor's holding that space. And then reminding you that your worthiness is not negotiable in that moment. Let's take another one. Unmet expectations. Okay, you have key performance indicators or external benchmarks that are not being met. And you're feeling inadequate because these things aren't being met. You might not have the profit percentage you're looking for, the enrollment numbers that you want. You have enrollment, but you don't have the staffing in the way that you want them. Your turnover rate is super high. You are feeling inadequate. So it's starting to challenge your self-worth and your enoughness. The first baby step when we have unmet expectations and we're starting to feel that unravel our worthiness and our enoughness, we pause and we redefine success. What season am I in? How am I defining success right now? Then we look at what milestones have I accomplished? Where have I moved the needle? This is what it means to win in the dark, because where you have moved the needle is in the shadows. Where maybe it's not showing is in the external benchmarks, but you have moved the needle. It's just in the dark. And so you celebrate that and you win in the dark. And then you share the wins with community. Where's another area where our worthiness gets attacked or our enoughness? Personal doubts. I've had so many conversations with school leaders who have these big visions. They talk themselves into it and then they talk themselves out of it. They talk themselves into it and then they feel undeserving to go after these things. They talk themselves into it and then they sabotage it because their team asks them for something like, oh, I actually can't go after these big goals because my team needs me to go do X, Y, and Z. How do we win in the dark around personal doubts? We acknowledge the self-talk in our head, the bullying in your head. You are bullying yourself in your head right now. There are things that you are telling yourself where you're bullying yourself. And so you acknowledge that. And then you come into community, into your support network. You share those experiences. You share those insights. And you navigate through those personal doubts. Notice the common thread that I talk about where community comes in. Because the only way that you can really understand how to win in the dark and do it successfully is you have to have other networks that are supporting you as you learn to build your internal reservoir. Because you can't just go from, I got external accolades all the time, to saying, yeah, now I can just always lean on myself. There is a process. There's a journey to get there. And the journey is through mentorship and community, where community like cheers for you and wins for you and witnesses your growth and your milestones. And the mentor is able to hold a space for you to experience all the range of emotions, reminds you that your worthiness is not negotiable, and pushes you to the next level. That is the power of community coupled with mentorship. And when you stay in it long enough and sustainably, you don't recognize yourself a few years from then, because you are so confident, so unshakable in your self-trust, and you really appreciate winning in the dark. I find that going to events, spending time with other people, going on social media can also have this pressure to constantly prove your worth externally. And while you're trying to constantly prove your worth externally, you're also trying to maintain a deep sense of fulfillment internally. And that feels paradoxical. We had a leader in our program, we'll call her Jenny, and she recognized inside of her school a need to enhance literacy programs within the preschool. But the budget constraints made it really challenging for her to really implement this very comprehensive initiative. And Jenny took the time to really collaborate with some of her veteran teachers and some of their core group of parents who've been with them for many years. And she created a grassroots literacy movement. She organized book drives. She implemented reading buddy programs. She conducted these low-cost literacy workshops. And she worked really, really hard. And despite not receiving a single external accolade for anything, the internal impact in the school was so palpable. The children really started to show signs of increased enthusiasm for reading, which we know lays the foundation for lifelong learning. And she really started to see the impact of this. And I remember she and I were talking one time. I had met her personally at an event. And she's like, you know, honey, I'm so proud of what I've done. I am so proud of what I've achieved in the school and what I've been able to do with the parents and the teachers and the impact that I'm seeing with the kids. Why does it bother me so much that nobody knows how hard I worked and how much personal time and sleep I lost over this? And, you know, just the amount of research that we did and just all the internal fortitude that I had to do to get to here. Like, it bothers me that nobody knows how amazing I am. And I still remember we were sitting in this hotel lobby and there was these two big armchairs and she's like leaning half over the chair and she's like, why does it drive me crazy so much? Why can't I just be happy? I got what I wanted, right? I wanted there to be an amazing literacy program in the school and I got that. I achieved that. But it's not enough because people don't know about it. And I want more people to know about it. And she's leaning over, like almost falling off of the chair, coming closer to me, those giant armchairs. And I remember we were trying to pull the chairs to kind of get closer together, but we couldn't move the chairs. So I'm leaning over also, and I take her hands and I look at her right in the eye. And I'm like, Jenny, this is the beautiful paradox of what it means to win in the dark. You won, right? You won. You got exactly what you wanted. You wanted this amazing literacy program, but you won in the dark because it's in the shadows. Nobody knows about it right now. And it will take years and decades for these children to grow up and appreciate even, and maybe they never will know where it came from, of their love for learning and how it started here in your tiny little preschool in this little rural area. But so much of what it means to choose leadership is all these little moments of impact and influence that you're creating that nobody knows about. And knowing that should make you feel enough and worthy to continue to be this amazing leader that you are. And it was so beautiful because it was just like such a representation of the reality of life, where she was like, she leaned back in her chair, she closed her eyes, and she was like, yeah. And she kind of sat in that for a couple minutes, and we just sat quietly kind of holding that space. And then a couple minutes later, she's like, ugh, but it still bothers me. And I'm like, I know, let's go get drinks. And then we went to the bar together. That's the duality of the emotions and life, right? Where you can love and appreciate the fact that you won, and you won in the shadows. And there's still a part of you that creeps and wants that a little bit. And holding the tension for both, mastery of leadership. So let's go into some more practical strategies of how you can embrace the shadows while maintaining a sense of enoughness and worthiness. Okay. So like in the story I just shared, focusing on impact, not impressions, right? Shift your focus from impressing everyone else to really making meaningful impact. Right? Concentrate and prioritize initiatives that enhance educational experiences, culture, mental and emotional well-being for children, families, and teachers, because that is impact. How else can you learn to win in the dark, to navigate the shadows? Boundaries. Setting those boundaries that prevent your burnout. Understanding that you cannot meet every external demand and impress every single person. You just can't. And creating that harmony between work and life, that's really what's going to give you that long-term satisfaction. Another idea is implementing a reflection practice where you regularly share your stories, your impactful moments, your wins in your leadership journey. This exercise reinforces the intrinsic value of your contributions and creates a feeling of fulfillment. And the most beautiful way to do this is in the container of community and peers and mentorship. When you build that community of trust, where you can be yourself and other people can witness your journey, you feel a sense of significance and internal fulfillment. So I know this episode is different from probably anything I've ever recorded before. And you might be sitting in a lot of discomfort or some confusion, or you're like, this is so hard, or I don't know if I even want to do this. It's so normal to feel all these range of emotions around what it means to learn how to embrace the mindset to win in the dark. But remember, and I want to leave you with this, while winning in the dark is not about seeking external validation, right? It's about recognizing the intrinsic value of your efforts. Your journey as a leader is not just about hitting every goal, every benchmark, every KPI that you're going after. It's the transformative process of within and who you become on the way to getting to wherever you want to go. And so until our next episode on Winning in the Dark, stay inspired, keep building your endurance, and keep winning in the dark. If you are loving the Schools of Excellence podcast and have gotten any value out of it for your school, I would love if you can do two things for me. One, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And two, can you please leave us a review? Reviews help other school leaders know that this is the place to learn how to build a school of excellence. And I would be so grateful if you can do that for us. Your help and support makes this show to be able to be listened by the thousands of other school leaders all around the world. Thanks so much for listening, for giving us your time and attention each and every week. And I appreciate that you have joined us. Are you ready to elevate your leadership and guide your center to excellence? Well, I'd love to introduce you to the School Leadership Toolkit. For just $97, you'll access immediate and lifetime solutions to efficiently manage tasks, make informed decisions, support your team, show appreciation, enhance parent-teacher relationships, and navigate through really difficult conversations. You'll be able to conquer challenges and lead your school to excellence today by getting your toolkit at schoolsofexcellence.com/toolkit or click the link in the show notes. Let's help you shape your leadership journey with 10 easy-to-implement resources. Go grab the toolkit.